Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Saybrook University. Over 25 online master's and doctoral programs in humanistic scholarship, empowering students to pursue their life's work. Accepting 2014 spring and fall applications, saybrook.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A lot of commuters in the San Francisco Bay Area are driving with their mouths agape this morning, and not just because they overindulged during Labor Day weekend. The new eastern span of the Bay Bridge between Oakland and San Francisco has opened to traffic, and it's a pretty piece of architecture, the world's largest self-anchored suspension bridge. While you're driving across it, you can see the old east span just to the side. Now, of course, that has to come down. KQED's Tara Seiler has the story.
Parts of the old eastern span are already being demolished. The rest will be painstakingly taken apart piece by piece over the next 3 years, a project Caltrans chief engineer Brian Maroney is thrilled to be leading.
You know, I want to show you guys the cool stuff on this bridge over here.
Maroney excitedly points to a complex connection joining several beams, then to the smaller steel crisscross sections traveling skyward, a pattern he says that reminds him of his grandmother's lacework. Still, some say the 77-year-old eastern span is not as elegant as its graceful new neighbor. In fact, it's often compared to an erector set.
This structure was not designed or constructed for aesthetics. It was about pure engineering, pure efficiency.
And Maroney says there's a beauty in those traits.
It reminds me almost of my grandfather. Efficiency. Don't spend a penny you don't need to. And it's what I call an honest structure. It has not one stick of metal on it that it doesn't need. It's just a reflection of who we were during the Depression. And I just kind of love that.
Unfortunately, engineers didn't worry too much about earthquakes during the Depression, and so a new crossing was necessary. There are plans to preserve some pieces of the old bridge for the Oakland Museum or perhaps for a park. In the meantime, Maroney says this once world-class structure should be taken down in a world-class way, with respect. For the California Report, I'm Tara Seiler.
We've got a lot more on the Bay Bridge, past, present, and future. Look for the link on our website, californiareport.org. As this year's legislative session rolls to a close in Sacramento, the State Assembly nears a vote on a bill that would end state tax exemptions for the Boy Scouts of America and other youth groups that discriminate based on sexual orientation. Many Californians are proud of how progressive the state is on gay, lesbian, and transgender rights. But given how beloved the Boy Scouts are, the bill is a tough sell, as the California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow explains.
Ask 17-year-old Chris Tennant what his favorite Boy Scouts experience is, and he'll tell you about the 91-mile backpacking trip his troop took through New Mexico last year. The Scouts got a chance to cook, shoot rifles, even climb up tall poles using ropes.
And I was pretty terrified going into that. I wasn't sure if I was going to do it as the rest of my troop was lining up. But I did it, I conquered my fear, and it was truly an amazing experience.
Chris's dad, Steve, went on the 2012 trip too. It motivated him to take over one of the positions running Troop 57 in Moraga in Contra Costa County.
I was like, wow, more boys deserve this opportunity. I could see the impact it had on them. It was transformational for me.
But a week after Steve Tennant became one of the troop's committee chairs, a nearby scout troop denied 17-year-old Ryan Andresen scouting's highest honor, the Eagle Badge, and then kicked him out of the organization. Their reason? Ryan is gay.
I found out about it a few days later and wondered for myself, did I join the wrong group here? Because I can't imagine being a part of a group that would do that to a boy, especially a group that's about helping turn boys into leaders.
Ryan Andresen's ouster made national news. The incident and its backlash helped push the organization to change its rules and allow gay youth to be members. But the National Scout policy still bars gay and lesbian leaders, affecting California troops that serve about 180,000 youth. Steve Tennant and his son Chris oppose that policy. So does Wendell Baker, another Contra Costa County Scoutmaster.
We're basically telling kids that if you come out, you can't be a camp counselor when you grow up. And a lot of the kids in my troop want to be camp counselors. They love camp, but if you're an adult, the Boy Scouts won't hire you. They won't let you even be a member. That's discrimination.
So even though Baker's home office is filled with scout activity calendars and posters and pictures from recent camping trips, He's supporting SB 323, which could cost the California Boy Scouts $250,000 a year in new taxes. The measure would strip away nonprofit sales and use tax breaks for the Boy Scouts and any other youth organization that discriminates against gays, lesbians, and transgender members. The bill passed the Senate earlier this year and has cleared three assembly committees. It's sponsored by Long Beach Democrat Ricardo Lara.
And it's all, in my opinion, based on this homophobic sentiment that somehow you're a LGBT adult and somehow you pose a threat to children all of a sudden.
National Boy Scout leadership refused a request for an interview. In an emailed statement, the organization said, quote, "The state of California needs scouting, which gives young people the opportunity to develop skills and take responsibility while inspiring a lifetime of character and service." The California Association of Nonprofits also opposes the measure. CEO Jan Masaoka says she's anti-discrimination, but she doesn't think California's Franchise Tax Board should be put in the position of weighing in on whether nonprofits discriminate, as the bill requires.
That's not something that's really within their purview. We have other state agencies that do that successfully, and it should be there.
Since the bill changes tax laws, it needs two-thirds support to pass. Senator Lara, the bill's sponsor, admits getting two-thirds of lawmakers to vote against an organization he calls as American as apple pie is tough, especially now that Democrats have temporarily lost their assembly supermajority due to vacant seats. But he's confident it will get a vote, if not by the end of this fall's legislative deadline, then early next year. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
And finally, a memorial service 65 years in the making drew an emotional crowd to Fresno Monday. In 1948, a plane chartered by immigration authorities went down in the hills above Coalinga. All aboard were killed in the crash, including 28 Mexican farm workers, buried unnamed in a mass grave. The awful incident inspired Woody Guthrie to write Plane Crash at Los Gatos, a poem later set to music and covered by the likes of Joan Baez and Johnny Cash. Now, the farm workers' names have all been carved in stone for posterity at Holy Cross Catholic Cemetery in Fresno. That's the California Report for Tuesday, September 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org.